Morning. Good to see everybody and glad to be seen by those watching at home. I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday. And did everybody get what they wanted? Wow, a lot of shaking of heads. Yes, good. I'm guessing there's somebody's honest, that did not get everything they wanted. Sometimes, you know, we learn those lessons, especially when we're young, that we have these dreams and hopes, and we think we're going to get it on our birthday or at Christmas, and you know, we open all those presents, and the one we really wanted just isn't there, and we are just, like, upset, right? We have trouble being thankful for what we did receive, because we're upset because we didn't get the thing we really wanted. And so we're going to talk a little bit about being thankful, but I want to talk about it from a perspective that I've been covering on Sunday afternoons, our class that we're doing on Zoom. Rich usually announces it as emotional skills class, which I put out there sometimes. I also call it kind of overcoming burnout, overcoming stress. The emotional skills part of the class is going to be starting in a couple of classes from now. So we're not doing anything this weekend, not doing anything next weekend, but in a couple of weeks we'll pick it up. And so about 9 points we're going to make in there about emotional skills. And one of them we're going to kind of hit at today. Because being emotionally resilient, psychologists and psychiatry have kind of identified things that make people resilient. Right. Well, when you look at almost all of them, they're things God has been talking about forever. And we're going to look at one of those, and I'll kind of mention that to you. But I want us to think about this idea of rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is what God wills for you. You to be thankful in every circumstance. He certainly doesn't mean 2020, though, right? Well, obviously he does. The question of how do we become thankful in every circumstance? That's really the issue. That's for us to learn not only the will, not only what is God's will, but how do we do God's will? Right? So it's one thing to, like, in that passage in Thessalonians, he tells us, this is God's will for you. Okay, now I know this is what God wants, that regardless of circumstances, I'm a thankful person. So that's what I know. The second thing is, how do I do that? Because, you know, Jesus, when he taught him how to pray, you know, when they were kind of like, you know, how do we pray? And he told them, you know, pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's the second thing. How do I do it? It's one thing to know it. It's a second thing to do it. And if it was just as easy as, well, I feel thankful. Oh, now I don't feel thankful. Then it's our emotions that rule us rather than us ruling over our emotions. And we see, and probably many of us maybe feel that at times, that we feel like our emotions get the best of us. They overcome us. It could be sorrow. It could be grief. It could be anger. It could be a lot of different emotions that end up ruling our reactions and our behavior. And usually when emotions rule our actions and behavior, there are consequences that will be felt. Not every time, but oftentimes we're apologizing, right? If we have an anger issue, right, and anger just gets away from us and we can't control it, what happens? We end up apologizing, don't we? And other emotions often do that to us as well. They feel like they're controlling us. And so one of the things we can do to help control emotions or God doesn't ask us to not feel emotions, doesn't ask us to not feel sorrow, doesn't ask us to not feel angry. He simply wants those things to not rule over us. He wants us to rule over them. And a lot of his advice is to help us over to accomplish that. So some of the other exceptions I thought that we probably think, well, I shouldn't be thankful this year, obviously. Maybe next year I can be thankful. What about grief? When we're just suffering some kind of loss, and that comes in a lot of different ways, when we're suffering grief, are we still thankful? A lot of times we don't. We kind of give ourselves an out. Well, I'm grieving. I have this terrible thing that's happened, so I'm not going to be thankful. I have a reason to not be thankful. We often sabotage ourselves because we have mentally given ourselves an out, an excuse to not be thankful. Sickness. I don't know how many of you are grumpy sick people. Most people are kind of grumpy sick people, right? Some more than others, though. You know, some people almost are angry when they're sick. And they're angry at everybody else because they're sick. You know, and there are some people that almost like they get a little sick and then people take care of them and they kind of like that. And so very often these things that come upon us that we don't necessarily have a lot of control over, they can change our emotions and how we feel about things. But even in the midst of being sick, are we thankful? That loss, just losing something, losing somebody, maybe a lost job. Oftentimes, or maybe, you know, a lot of people right now, they're feeling the loss of companionship, right? I think I saw somebody's meme the other day talking about how hard this is, 2020 is, for the huggers out there. I don't understand that one, but I'm assuming for all of you who are that, that must be a thing for you. Seemed a little easier this year to me, but in that respect. A side note to that, by the way. I don't know if a lot of people know that. You know, a lot of people are touchy-feely, and a lot of people aren't touchy-feely. And you think people who aren't touchy-feely, like me, you think that we don't like it. Actually, almost the opposite is true. I'm so sensitive to touch that I actually don't like it all the time. If you touch me, you hug me, I actually, that's a very, very emotional thing to me. So I can't do it as much as other people do it. It bothers me to have too much of it. It's almost a little overwhelming at times. And so a lot of times we think the opposite of what things are. People who don't want to do that, it might be they're so sensitive that they just can't handle it as much as others can. But here's a little side note for you, for all those friends of you who know that don't like to hug. So maybe you can understand them a little bit. Well, it could be they're just grumps. But poverty. I mean, we're trying to raise money to help people who don't have food in Zimbabwe, right? And they're not the only people in the world. They're just ones we know of, and we're in the, having the ability to help. But does this apply to them to be thankful when they don't have any food to feed their children? And it's not even for themselves, right? I mean, they're rationing their food. You know, they were down to once a day, and then some of them didn't have any anymore, and didn't know when any more was coming. And how are you still thankful in that spot? Most of us would feel like we would have an excuse to not be thankful in that spot. Now, Ephesians 5, 15 to 21 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Now, this is the thing I want you to understand about this passage. He starts off in this section telling us he understands these days are evil, that they're often terrible. And yet he's going to tell us to We have to be thankful always. So it's not like he doesn't understand the circumstances of our life. And so he says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we already saw that about thankfulness. It is God's will that we are thankful all the time and in every circumstance. And he says, do not get drunk with wine. That is debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So he says, giving thanks always and for everything. Really, everything? Are you thankful for everything? I'm guessing you'd have a list of things you're not thankful for. And yet, God's telling you to be thankful for everything. So how do we do that? And this is kind of why one of the skills and that emotionally healthy people have is the ability to see things from a different perspective. And so it might look a certain way, feel a certain way to us in the moment, but how do we look at it from a different perspective? So if I had no food and I was dying from it, how could I still be thankful? Well, this passage says, I'm thankful for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when I have God and I have the Father, even if I'm dying of starvation, I can be thankful that I get to go to a better place. That no matter what happens to my flesh, God loves me, cares for me, and will welcome me home into that eternal inheritance. And so I have to see that. Sometimes I have to force myself to see things from a different perspective. Because you and I are in our own minds and in our own bodies, and we're out looking at everything that we experience. We see everything from our experience. But sometimes we have to think about it as we're looking at ourselves from an outside and looking down at ourselves, and we're looking down at the blessings we already have. Because sometimes, you know, no matter how much somebody has, no matter how much blessings and wealth or whatever somebody has, they can always be sad and disappointed. Right? You think the richest kids in the world are never upset, never disappointed? Certainly they are, right? Doesn't matter. You might take, you know, maybe you got a 17-year-old, you know, somewhere who's got a Lamborghini from their parents, but they want something and they don't get it. Do you think they're not going to feel disappointed? It's like, well, they're going to remember they have a Lamborghini. The reality is that child, if they are spoiled that way, and I don't know if they're, I'm sure there's someone out there like that. But that child, if something they want, they don't get, in many ways, they're more inclined to be upset about it because they feel like they get everything they want. In fact, we call that being spoiled, don't we? Children that grow up kind of thinking that they'll get whatever they want. And when we say somebody's spoiled, we're not complimenting them, are we? Because that's not a good and it's not a healthy. It's not healthy for them. And so, if we can learn to reframe whatever circumstance we're in, to see it from the positive, is there a positive? So let's look at this verse. Learning to see things from God's view. So the very first one, your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Isaiah 26:19. When the prophet Isaiah was writing that and saying that to the children of Israel, at this point, you know, almost 2,700, 2,800 years ago, what was he trying to get them to see and understand? Trying to help them understand that even those who have died and bodies been buried in the dust will rise. And so it looks like we've lost them and they're gone, but he's telling them that's not true. It looks that way to us, but it's not, that's not really real. You know, we talk about what's really real. And one of the phrases everybody loves now is, you know, just follow science. And I'm loving all the people. Just follow science. As if scientists don't disagree. If science was every scientist always agreed, I'd have no problem following the scientists. But sometimes certain science that is published have agendas to them. I love science, by the way. I was a science major, loves chemistry, I love biology. I love science. Love studying science. I love still learning. I still read all kinds of science journals and things. But science is only information. It's not actually telling us what to do with it. And it doesn't give us every circumstance. It only tells us little bits of information. We have to figure out how to use it. How do we use the information? And is science always linear and it's always just, we understand it and it just keeps growing all the time? Or does science sometimes go, whoops, we got it all wrong? Yeah, it does. That is the nature of it. And so when people are kind of saying, oh, I just live by science, I follow the science, whatever the science says, there's a different agenda behind that statement. There's another agenda behind that. It's like I'm living more by the world's perspective of things than I am God's perspective of things, right? And that's problematic. Even when the science is right, I'm not rejoicing in science. It does not. It's not going to save me and keep me from dying, is it? No. Might keep me a little more healthy. Might you know, help me a little bit along the way. It might give me a nice refrigerator. We learned how to refrigerate stuff and plug it into electricity and do all kinds of fun things. But it didn't change the beginning and end of life and what's going to happen there. And so God, throughout the prophets, is trying to reframe his followers' perspective about life and about this world and about being his offspring and his children. What does it mean? And so I want to kind of hit at this. This is what I think Romans 8 is really about. And in fact, we're going to look at 31 to 39, but I just want to give you a little kind of the context of it. And it's starting in verse 18, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time," now this is the Apostle Paul writing it. The Apostle Paul is writing the book of Romans near the end of his third journey, a little bit before he's arrested, and then ultimately will find his way to Rome. And he, you know, he's already been beaten lots of times. He's already been, in jailed and run for his life and, you know, have to, you know, get middle of night and fleeing. All of these different things. He's been stoned and left for dead. He has suffered a lot. In fact, he doesn't ever talk about his family. The one time we read about a family member, it is a nephew. And that nephew was in tight with the Jewish leaders who were threatening to kill him. What does that tell you about his nephew's family? They were in tight with the Jewish leaders, and they weren't afraid of letting his nephew know they were trying to kill him. It gives us some inclination of what his family was like at that time, or at least the family that nephew is connected to. And so The loss of family, the loss of wealth, the loss of prestige, power, authority. He had all of those things. He'd lost all of them in the world. From a worldly perspective, he'd lost them all. And he said, it is not worthy to consider what I've lost and what I have suffered. And it is not worth comparing to the glory that God has promised to be revealed to us. He goes, you can't put them on a scale and balance what I'm suffering with what he's going to give me and think that I've somehow paid an equal, I've paid the price for it. No, doesn't even come close. That's what he's trying to get us to understand. So the prophet Paul is telling us, you have to see things a little differently. And so when he comes in, he talks about, you know, our weaknesses and how the Spirit helps in our weakness. And as he talks about how we groan in struggles in this past section from 18 through 30. And how sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. And so sometimes the Spirit helps us because we're groaning and suffering. And it's like, I'm not quite certain what I should ask. I just know I'm suffering. And he's telling me we can be thankful that the Spirit does know. He can understand our hearts, minds, and intentions. And he knows how we're suffering. He knows the things we need. And he can intercede for us. And so he says, what then shall we say to these things? All of this suffering. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, literally, who can be against us? Everybody? Have you ever felt like everybody's against you? No, God, none of you ever felt that way. I felt that way in my life. Now, it hadn't been recently, but in the past, felt like at times everybody was against me. Every circumstance felt like a failure. Nothing seemed to be working. I can remember moments like that in life. And so I hope you don't have those. But the literal truth is everybody can be against him. That's not the point of his rhetorical question. If God is for me, who can be against me? Well, everybody. But it wouldn't matter. And he said, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So Jesus died, okay, and was raised to glory. How will we not suffer and him not give us graciously all those things that he gave to Christ? And so he goes on, he says, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Well, throughout history, a lot of people have given charges against God's elect. Which Jews made a charge against God's Holy One of Israel? Number of them. The question is, what did it matter? They killed him. They used the Romans to actually execute him, though he didn't deserve it. Even a horribly wicked ruler in Rome knew he didn't deserve it. But it doesn't matter. See, that's a different perspective, isn't it? And he says, it is God who justifies. God's the one who makes us right, not the world. He says, who is to condemn? Well, lots of people condemn us, right? Lots of people can condemn us. They can, and we make it easier by listening to so many voices, especially out in social media, that have negative things to say. Like, why listen to all that? Now, I'm not saying you can't put stuff out there, but if you want to put stuff out there, you really got to not listen to people. You got to be able to ignore people. I'm not really great at ignoring comments from people, so I don't put stuff out there where that people will can you know attack, because it's not healthy for me, not good for me, and so I don't do it. I've learned about me, what's good and helpful for me, and I try to do those which help me, make life profitable. And he says, Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Do you believe Jesus was raised from the dead? Now, I'm certain everybody in here does. Maybe the little ones aren't quite there yet because they haven't really grasped all that. But all of us adults are here mostly because we believe that, don't we? People who watch at home or listen later, we believe that. But that fact that he was raised means something. It means that we need to see the world around us differently than we normally do as a human being. We need to see circumstances differently. And so he says he's interceding for us. Do you believe Jesus is actually making the case to God for you today in the midst of this pandemic? Do you believe it? See, that matters. If you don't believe that, see, if I'm thinking this is the worst day ever, it's the worst year ever, and all of my life, you know, is terrible, and everything's terrible, and everything's awful, and there's nothing to be thankful for, I have forgotten what he did for me and what he's doing for me right now. And so he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Persecution? Have we had... So, 2020 pandemic has certainly been not necessarily a great tribulation in that sense word, but has it been distressful? Sure. Are we the only people who have ever felt distress in the history of the world? I mean, you think about people who were born in, say, the 1920s. So both of my parents were born in the 1920s. They're not around anymore. Both late 1920s. What do you think the first 20 years of their life was like? They already didn't come from wealthy families. And so when the crash happened and lost jobs, and life was tough. And it didn't get easy in a couple years. Didn't get easy the next year. Because, you know, not too much longer, you know, my dad came in right at the end, you know, in World War II. Didn't see combat in the Pacific, but he was in the Pacific right at the end of the war. But even that, not seeing combat, he still came out what is probably, we'd say, PTSD today. He got discharged because of kind of mental health reasons. How do you think that affected them? Their entire first 20 years or more. All that distress, all of that struggle, all of the war, all of the famine. He talks about persecution, famine. I never quite understood when I was a kid why our pantry had so much stuff in it. Because at the back of the pantry was almost always some can that had exploded. If you got back there far enough, you'd find food that's like, oh, we should need to throw that away. That can is really puffed up a lot. Is that supposed to be like that? Why did my mom have so much food? Because she was so poor and went hungry so much. She never wanted that for her kids. So when she bought all kinds of food that we didn't necessarily need and put it in the pantry, that all came from the distress she suffered as a child. And so, but the thing is, we suffer these things as well. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, which simply means not having enough clothes. It doesn't mean actually totally without any clothes. It means right now, if I just had this on and I went outside in this temperature and this weather, it's like, I'm kind of naked. Because these are not good for me to be standing outside in this weather. And what it means is you're not having sufficient clothing. Danger, sword, right? War, things like that. He says, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's the way we see the world sometimes. We see us. We can be seen that way by others, by ourselves. He says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors, I've said, taught in the past, it's a singular word that means hyper conquerors. A hyper victor. It's not just a regular victory. It's a grand victory. It's a huge victory. And he says, because of him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we believe that? Do we trust that? We have to. If we want to really practice the will of God in our life, and not only what God wills for us to be, but also do those things, then we need to sometimes refocus how we see things. Because if we really refocus on this year alone, just take 2020, there's probably some good things that have happened. Not everything that's happened, but there's probably been circumstances. See, now that has been a little better. That has been a good thing that came from this. Maybe I spend a little more time at home with my family than I didn't before. A little less time driving in commute because of working from home. Maybe something happened that changes your view. You can look at it differently and be thankful for it. Because I can always be thankful that no matter, even if whatever difficulty is around me, it will cause me to die, I can be thankful that God will welcome me home. So in the very worst of situations, I can always be thankful that my God loves me. So we're going to end it there. Appreciate everybody's time. We're going to close out that part. We're going to sing a song just to kind of wrap this up a little bit. And then we're going to have a prayer and some announcements. But remember, whether you're at home or here, please reach out to somebody if you're struggling. Because sometimes talking with other people begins to change our viewpoint. It doesn't even that they have to tell us to be different. Sometimes just talking with people can kind of help us reframe and look at things differently and see them a little differently. And so if you're here today and you're struggling in some way, and if emotions are just kind of getting the best of you, consider, you know, coming to the Sunday afternoon Zoom class in the future. In a couple of weeks, we'll be starting it up again and talking about all the skills to kind of help ourselves overcome the challenges of life. And they're always going to be there. There's never going to be a time where, oh, we don't have them anymore. They'll always be around us. So if you're here, though, and you need something, please reach out to us. Let us know how we can help you. Let's go ahead and stand and sing.